The Shroud of Turin is our topic right now during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Russ Breault, who has spoken about the Shroud on many occasions. In fact, I remember back in the mid-1980s when Russ Breault came and spoke at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in South Florida. This radio station, by the way, is located right at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. Ultimately, D. James Kennedy was the founder. Russ Breault maintains the website shroudencounter.com. Russ, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Jerry. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. And you've been writing and speaking about the Shroud, writing as in articles, and I think you're even working on a book for years now. For those not familiar with it, tell us what this is and why you think it's authentic.
Well, the Shroud is, of course, Shroud meaning a burial shroud, of Turin, meaning Turin, Italy, where it's been for nearly 500 years. You know, this is a 14-foot-long linen cloth that bears the faint image of a bearded crucified man, both front and back image. Appears to be around 5'10" in height. There's a whole pattern of bloodstains that correlate with the wounds of crucifixion, but in this case, wounds that are specifically related to how Jesus was crucified, such as a crown of thorns, which of course was a singular mockery for the man who claimed to be king of the Jews. And then you have severe scourging all over the body, a wound in the side, and the nail wounds in the wrist and the feet. And so it correlates with everything we know what happened to Jesus as recorded in the four Gospels. And now the intriguing thing that makes this, you know, could it be real, is that this is the most analyzed artifact in the world. So the first thing you want to know is, what about the blood? Is it blood or is it just paint? Well, in fact, it is blood, and it's genuine blood. It's blood from actual wounds. So that certainly is interesting. But then there's the image itself.
Wait. Can I stop you real fast?
I heard
a skeptic about the Shroud say, well, we're not sure that the blood is human. Your comments?
Well, from a blood testing standpoint, we know that it tests out to be AB blood type from forward testing. It's a technique, I guess. But now we can't prove that it is in fact human blood, but it appears to be primate blood. But I think what's more significant is that around every single blood mark, there is what's called a serum contraction ring, which is where the red blood cells are contracting and leaving a little halo effect of blood serum, which is clear. But you can only see it under ultraviolet light. But the intriguing thing is that it only occurs with clotted blood, meaning that this had to be blood from actual wounds. Because if you just paint blood onto a cloth, a control sample, it's not going to do the same thing. It has to be blood from wounds. And so it's like, okay, we can't prove from a chemical standpoint that it is in fact human blood. But we feel confident it's primate blood. So now you're looking for an artist who went out and slaughtered a monkey in order to. I don't think any medieval artist would actually have to go through all that. So that's the flip side. You see, either the Shroud either is authentic or it's not. And if it's not, well then what is it? Well then it must be the work of an artist. And if that's the case, well you have this inexplicable image on the cloth. Is there paint, ink, dye, pigmentation, stain? Are there any substances on the cloth to account for the image? And there's not. And it's so you have this very faint, extremely superficial image that penetrates only the top 1 to 2 microfibers, not threads, microfibers. Each individual thread is made up of about 200 microfibers. So this image resides on about 1% of a single thread. And so so this is astonishingly superficial. And it's, but the image appears from the chemistry it suggests that the reason the image appears on the cloth is that something has caused the accelerated dehydration and oxidation of the cellulose fibers composing the linen, which is made out of flax, but only in those areas immediately surrounding the body. So in other words, the image appears as a discoloration of the cloth. And so the question is, what could do that? Now, that's what we don't know. And there's, you know, lots of speculation. But so the shroud, amazingly, remains an unsolved mystery. And that, to me, is astonishing in and of itself. I mean, you would think that all you need is a magnifying glass to determine whether something's the work of an artist or not. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, in 1978, they had a team of nearly 40 American scientists go to Turin. They have access to the cloth for 5 days, 120 hours, round the clock.
Expecting to find it a fake, or at least some of them did.
And they were expecting to find it a fake. Most of the scientists were pretty skeptical. Most of them would, you know, but their mission was not to prove it to be authentic. Their mission was to determine what is the nature of this image. What, you know, why does this image appear? What is the cause of this image? And it's and they came back, you know, and 3 years later rendered their conclusion. And it's not the work of an artist. And so it's like, well, okay, if it's not the work of an artist, then what is it? And it's so this becomes, you know, enormously intriguing, because, you know, it's I mean, there's just so many, like one of the things that I really like about it is the fact that it does remain this profound mystery. And you see, that seems to be consistent with how God works, because all the deep things of God are all mysteries. I mean, can anyone want to walk me through how the Word of God, he became flesh? How does that work? You know, how does the resurrection work? How does a body disappear in a flash of light? Or, you know, how do you feed 5,000 people with a boy's lunch? Or how do you command a storm to subside with a simple command? Well, you know, so the church may call them miracles, but they're really mysteries. And so it would seem that, I mean, so you know, just ignore the shroud of Turin for a minute. If we were to find the burial shroud that wrapped Jesus at the point of resurrection, I think it would probably be a mystery, just like everything else about God. And that's what the shroud of Turin is. It is this proverbial unsolved mystery. And I don't think that someone in the Middle Ages who was trying to craft something to fool the public into creating something that he would pass off as being the burial shroud of Jesus, I really don't think it would have to be nearly as elaborate as what we see on the shroud. Because one of the interesting things is that there is no image under the blood, which that's an interesting piece of data, because that tells you that the blood was on the cloth first, followed by the image. Well, wait a minute.
Oh, okay. I mean, so let's suppose this is the burial cloth of Jesus. Okay, so he gets his corpse is placed, you know, on this linen cloth on the one side, and then they fold it over to the other side. So you have front and back of his entire body, and the blood is now being absorbed into the linen. That's the first image. Then, you know, on Sunday morning when he rises from the dead, boom, at the moment of the resurrection, he just somehow mysteriously goes through the cloth, but it's at that moment of resurrection that we have that that image being placed, you know, as you said, on just the very, 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 very surface of the fibers. Is that right?
I mean,
is that your view? Okay, go on.
Exactly. And so if there's no image under the blood, then that means the blood was on the cloth first, which is consistent with the gospel account of, you know, Good Friday followed by Easter Sunday. But it makes no sense if it's the work of an artist. I can't imagine an artist feeling the need to craft all of the bloodstains first and then create the image around those bloodstains. That doesn't make any sense. And then, in fact, there's been at least a half dozen attempts of modern day skeptics to show how some alleged artist could have crafted the shroud. And most of them are pretty terrible. There's a few that look decent from a distance. They all break down under the microscope, but they all make the same mistake. They craft their image, and then they just paint the blood where it's supposed to go. No. Blood first, then image. Mm. You do that, and you've accomplished something. And
and I'm sure none of those replicas are three-dimensional, which the shroud image, the image in the shroud is three-dimensional, which is astounding.
But to say it, the shroud contains distance information to suggest then that the reason there are parts of the cloth or parts of the image that would not have been in direct contact with the body, and yet the image is still there except lighter. So in other words, the closer the cloth is to the body, the darker the image, the farther the cloth is from the body, the lighter the image. So consequently, what we see when there's variations of density on the cloth. See, now there's no variation in image. In color on the shroud. Their color is constant. It's called a monochrome image. But where there are shades of nuance of lights and darks, has nothing to do with more or less of a substance. It has to do with the number of those individual microfibers that were affected by whatever caused the image. It's like a pixelization effect. So this phenomenon creates distance information, to wit, people from the shroud can reconstruct a three-dimensional image the man on the cloth, because the information, the three-dimensional information, is in the cloth, and so this is a phenomenon that no artwork or no even a photograph that we have that doesn't seem to have, and it's and then of course anyone who knows about the shroud knows what happened in 1898 when it was photographed for the very first time. And then that's when it was revealed that the image is so much clearer in a photo negative. I mean, you know, if anyone's taking pictures using, you know, because we don't deal with negatives very much anymore because we're in the digital age. But back when they used film, you know, you took your film canister to Kmart or something, you get your pictures back, and in back of the pictures is a sleeve of negatives.
Right.
And from the negatives, you can make copies of those pictures. And so you hold the negative up to the light and you say, who is that? You can't even make out any detail.
Right.
But for some reason, the shroud has tremendously more detail to be seen in the photo negative. When the only explanation for this phenomenon is that the image that's on the cloth itself must be a negative image to start with. Therefore, what shows up in a photo negative is actually a positive image. And it's like, okay, so this alleged medieval artist who crafted this image, then this astounding negative image, anytime you Google the shroud, you're probably going to see a picture of the photo negative.
Right, right.
Rather than the image that's on the cloth itself.
Russ, I've got to have you back on some other time, but just in 30 seconds left, that's all we have left, shroudencounter.com. Okay. Just address the carbon dating of 1988.
Well, they cut from the outside corner edge. Instead of three samples, they cut one sample, and that outside corner, where it had been held and handled hundreds of times over the centuries, appears to have been subjected to some kind of a medieval repair of some kind. So now we don't even know what they dated, whether it was actually entirely from the shroud or a mixture of new and old material. So, you know, when you don't follow instructions, you get a bad result. They were supposed to cut three samples. They cut one sample.
Mm. All right, we're out of time, but thank you so much. I'm going to have to talk with you more because there's so many details here. Russ Breault, Breault, shroudencounter.com. Russ, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, bye-bye.